Welcome, Spartans, to Halo Book Club, part of Evolved, your home for Halo. Halo Book Club goes beyond the video games and covers Halo's extended media and lore, from the novels, short stories, comic books, and more. I'm your host, Aaron, and with me today we've got Ian.
Hello again.
And we've got David.
Hello, everybody.
We have gathered together unlikely podcast hosts, and we are going to do a book club. It's very exciting.
Hell yeah.
This month's book club is another Halo Fracture story. This one is Defender of the Storm. So before we do that, we will do some socials. If you're new to the show, welcome. Halo Book Club is part of Evolved. We host a variety of other shows at Podcast Evolved. We've got the main show, Podcast Evolved, Mission Debrief, Builds with Blocks, Halo TV Plus, Halo Gear Guide, Halo Headlines, and a current new show I'm working on that I do not have a title for yet. So when I figure out a good snappy one, or I'm going to end up letting Discord pick. But there will be a new show. Evolved also partners with HCS ProTalk, a podcast where Josh and Will discuss the latest information within the competitive Halo scene, with an emphasis on the community every week. You can learn more about all of our shows by going to the website, evolvedhalo.com. If you're already a fan of the show, we'd like to ask you to take a minute to rate us and review us on your podcast service of choice, because we greatly appreciate the feedback. We'd also like to take a minute to thank all of our patrons for your continued support. Your contributions help make everything possible, such as buying replacement microphones for Lucas. Behave yourself, Lucas. Stop wrecking equipment. You've been warned. Thank you very much to all of our patrons for your continued support. If you're not a patron and would like to find out how to become one, go to patreon.com/HaloEvolved, and there you can learn about the variety of exclusive rewards, such as early episodes, unique swag, access to the soundtrack, and the secret Discord channel. Well, I don't really think it's a secret, but it's patrons only, so you can go in there and just abuse other patrons. And finally, we encourage all of our listeners to support us through Audible. There you can enjoy the growing collection of Halo novels all in one place, along with thousands of other novels, guided wellness programs, and more. Use the URL audibletrial.com/podcastevolved to learn more and start your free trial today. And I will have to do an audiobook recommendation, because I usually do one when we mention these. The next book I haven't started yet, but I have downloaded, is the Stephen King novel Fairy Tale, so I'm going to give that a go.
Ooh, I picked that up physically off my dad last time I was home. He said it was very good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, so the only thing I had to ask my friend was they're reading at the minute, and I said, there's a dog in it, and I was like, if anything happens to that dog, you ring me straight away and you tell me and I stop the story and I never listen to it again. That's the only condition. I can't cope with that. They haven't phoned me yet, so I assume I'm fine. But apart from that, I'm just finishing the Return of the King at the minute. So I'm now on to the 75 endings of that story.
Who reads who's narrating it?
It is all narrated by Andy Serkis.
Oh, very good.
It's a fantastic Gollum the whole way through it, and then rather good movie-like impressions of the others. No, I wanted to go through it a while ago because I'm going to watch the Amazon show, and then I just happened to notice they'd re-released it because the old audiobooks, I think they had like the BBC audio drama and then old versions of the audiobooks, and then suddenly it's like, oh no, we got Andy Serkis to record all three novels. Like, I'll take some of that, please. Highly recommend them, they're very good. So, well, most people know Lord of the Rings is good, but those audio versions, quite good. From that, we will jump into the current book. I have volunteered Ian as tribute, he's going to read out the information.
You can do it, Ian.
Alright, let's see if I can manage this. Alright, so book club this month, title is Defender of the Storm. That's a short story out of the Halo Fractures series of short stories. The author is John Jackson Miller. Publisher was Galleria Books. Format's available. It's available digitally, physically, and audiobook form, which is, I think, pretty much everything you can get your hands on or your fingers on typing. Release date, you typed this in British format or whatever this nonsense is. It was...
You mean the correct format?
Yes, it was the 20th, what is this, 20th month of September... September 20th. I think I got it. September 20th, 2016. All right. I figured it out. Length is 59 minutes. That's audiobook length. I don't have a page count. It's not very long, though. 59 minutes is...
I did not have a book handy, so you're just getting the audio length. I'm going to guess for a book like that, it's got to be like, what, 30 pages for an hour?
For an hour, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't that long at all. I got through pretty quickly.
Timeline is approximately 100,000 BCE. I think it says it's basically right at the end of the Forerunner Flood War, right before the firing of the Halo. So I think that's like, what, 97, 445 BCE, something like that. So it's right around there. Location is a gas giant known as Seclusion. I don't think we have any other information other than the name of the gas giant. And then characters in the book, we have the main character is Adequate Observer, who is a Forerunner manipular. And then we have several other red shirts, Capital Enforcer, I think being the one other one that we at least get some sort of backstory or a little bit of story to.
The Ancilla doesn't have a name, do they? They don't name their Ancillas.
I don't remember if they name. Do they remember any of the Ancilla? I remember him talking to him.
Yeah, he just refers to them as Ancilla. I was just trying to think who Forerunners generally. They probably not. Probably don't
have
names.
I remember them calling it Ancilla. I don't remember them having a name.
I think they only really tend to name the big ones as well, far as I can see. The rest of them are just Ancilla or Blue Lady, because it's that way the whole way through the Forerunner books. Like, no one there ever mentions the Ancilla in their armor by name.
True.
It's just, you know, Mendicant Bias and the big guys that all seem to have a name. They had a lot of AIs, though, I think. I kind of don't think they appreciated them as much as maybe the humans did.
Yeah, I got the impression that, like, the suit AIs are very much just tools.
I kind of get the feeling they're like the dumb AIs we have now in Infinite. Like, they're quite smart, but they're not, you know, Cortanas. They are, funnily enough, I stopped to think of a name of one of the suit AIs and my brain went, nah. So that's how much of an impression they've made. I have Virgil, I know that.
The new one's Virgil, Lumu, Cirque. There's probably one or two others.
The Banished one as well.
Oh yeah.
Can't think of the name off the top of my head. But anyway, I suppose that's all the more important that they're not that relevant. This story, will we rattle through like the short condensed version and just talk about anything we find of interest as we go through it? We start off, we join Adequate Observer. He has pulled the shit detail. He has been on this station for, they say, at least a decade or so now.
He's 15 years.
He's been stuck on this place. The other crew that are with him transfer on and off every year. They get a fresh influx and he continues to be there. It has finally dawned on him that nobody gives a shit about him anymore. It's like, things are going bad in the war. They took all 20, you know, of my colleagues the last time and gave me a few back, but they still didn't want me. And I was like, oh, that's like not a great position to be in, that you, even his AI doesn't like try to soften the blow anymore. Cause they talk about when the supply ship leaves, it's like, did they give a reason? She's like, no, it's not maybe a great time in this, warrior servant's career, that a kind way to put it.
He doesn't come across as a very warrior-like warrior servant.
No, I was thinking that myself. Part of it might be with the fact he's not necessarily, I don't think, the like oldest or most experienced. He's never actually fired a shot. It sounds like he may have been put here straight from becoming like an adult, because he hasn't landed a shot on an enemy in the Flood War, because his first Flood kill is later in the story when he crushes one with a bulkhead. He says like he scored his first kill in this war, so he's probably pretty young, pretty new and inexperienced. We don't have any exact dates for him or anything, but the new crew arrives on the station.
I was just going to say, I mean, his name's Adequate Observer, so I think just from that we know he's not probably getting the best assignments out of the gate. And this assignment, as we go through it, is a little confusing as to why anyone is assigned to this role in the first place.
If he was an engineer, he would be called Floats Meh. I get the feeling that that's about what he would be. So I suppose we should talk about, before we get too far into the story, we'll talk about actually what this assignment in the station is, because it's kind of cool. He's on the space station. It's in the upper atmosphere of this gas giant called Seclusion. It's hovering over a storm that's rumbling on the planet's equator. I think he says it's like big enough to engulf a planet. It's been running almost indefinitely, and it will run almost indefinitely due to like the heat and currents in the planet and everything else. It's just going nonstop. It kind of remind me of, is it Jupiter that has the storm on its surface that you can see? So it sounds very like that, just bigger. And this station is a hub with 5 spokes coming out of it, and they have collectors on the ends of each spoke, and they're collecting
nice and vague exotic particles.
Exotic particles, that's the phrase I was looking for. The magic forerunner dust that makes things go. So he says that over the year, the station gathers enough of these exotic particles to power an entire forerunner planet for a year. So this is just like, this is what the station does.
I think it's like one of the spokes does that all by itself. So it's generating tons and tons and tons. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's gathering this stuff up out of the atmosphere in the top of the storm. The spokes spin round. The whole station's constantly spinning around. It sounds like a giant wheel just flying above the storm. And then it's all gathered up, and once a year it's shipped off, and then the relief crew comes in and the whole process starts again.
So is this facility, I know it's described differently, but is it all similar to the Halo 2 facility that we go to as the Arbiter? I can't remember the name of that one now.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of. Yeah,
this thing sounds over a gas giant too. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it seems kind of like a similar idea.
Yeah, for sure.
I get the feeling, yeah, it might be the same concept, but like different purpose, different facility, but something similar. It's floating, you know.
This thing isn't like anchored in any way. The way like you break the anchor in Halo 2 and it drops straight down. This thing is all just floating around the place, spinning.
Yeah, whereas the Halo 2 one's sort of like fixed in the storm. This is pretty much the duty he's stuck on now. So he's there, he's on the station. The last crew leaves, the new relief crew comes in. He doesn't really talk to them. They don't really talk to him apart from bullying him. They give him the nickname Burly Adequate Observer. They're kind of dicks. They're a more experienced crew, but they're also, like, they don't want to be here. They got the shit job. But sort of like the one that probably gets the most mention is Capital Enforcer, because as the story goes on, we learn that he has a theory about why they've been sent there. But what happens is, I think, do they say, is it at night or daytime on the planet, they can't harvest the elements because they fall back down into the storm. So when that happens, they send out observation crews and they go out into each of the 5 spires and do a security sweep. They go off, adequate observers in the control room in the hub at the middle, and then suddenly one of them reports back that they're being attacked by the flood. They don't know where they've come from. The attack starts. They're fighting off the enemies, and then they have to start sealing off the spires one at a time. I suppose important thing that we'll learn later is that one of Adequate's other jobs that he got and seems to get all the time is he basically has to empty the toilets, and he has to take the waste material out to biodigesters that are on the edge of each spire, and that will be important to find out what happened later. If I'm thinking right here, the first like security crew gets eaten, except for, is that Capital Spire? So he's like holding off the flood.
Well, there's like one bloke gets eaten and he calls for reinforcements. So loads of people come for the other arms and go to him. But that leaves the other arms kind of like unmanned, like not very well manned. And then they all get taken out individually. And then in the middle of that are somehow the main guy, I'm blanking out his name.
Yeah, Adequate runs. Yeah, he goes down the spire with the, I didn't have her name here, the forerunner that gave him the Burly. Yeah, she gives him the Burly Adequate nickname. But she's on her own. She's running from the flood. He sprints down the corridor. Oh, I suppose it was worth mentioning before this that when Adequate's been on his own in the station, he thought he saw something moving out in the storm, and his AI is basically like, nah, it's ice. You can't see anything out there. It's too rough. He says, but it looked like there was a lightning. He goes, no, it's lightning in the storm. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. And as he runs down this corridor to help the lone forerunner, something slams into the glass window, and he looks out and basically sees like a... Does it sound like a flying, like, stingray? The description kind of makes me think of a stingray.
I'm thinking like the stuff from The Abyss, the movie.
Oh, that's a very good shout.
All lights and floatiness, and he describes them as having like lights inside them and all kinds of weird alien-like descriptions. It's pretty cool.
Three lights and shimmery arms and like a long lashy tail, and it's floating outside the window. And he's like, this is quite impressive because the station's hurtling through the storm, spinning at high speed. The only reason he's fine on the inside is the gravity systems that the Forerunners installed. Only for that, he should be like centrifugally flung to the wall or something. But this thing's outside the window, keeping pace with the station. And he sort of looks at it for a minute and he talks to his AI about it. And then he remembers, oh shit, the flood. And he turns around in time to see that the other Forerunner's been eaten. He goes to start like the emergency bulkhead close, and then someone in the control hub overrides it and slams the door shut, but locks him in the corridor. And then while he's trying to like get his escape, he's talking to the AI and he's like, oh, if that thing hadn't have hit the window, I would have run down into the middle of that Forerunner as they were transforming into a combat form. Like, so it saved me. So he eventually, the AI tells him there might be a way back even though the blast doors are closed. He shoots a panel open in the corridor and climbs into the collector tube for the special exotic particles and finds out that it's empty and the station hasn't been collecting particles. And he's like, oh, is it just this one? And the AI is like, no, there'd be no way to compensate for the other four spires working and this one not working. He says, this station hasn't been collecting any particles for at least 10 years.
Bum, bum, bum.
And he's talking to the AI and he's like, but something would have told us. It's like, why the fuck wouldn't it? It's like, why would they send like the refueling tanker to come and collect the particles if there were no particles being collected? So he's sort of left a little bit confused. But he makes his way back to the hub. He finds out that three of the five spires have now been sealed up. There are two left. And that the other Forerunners have gone to make their last stand in one of them. He runs down one corridor, realizes he's run down the wrong one, sees the flood coming, seals it off, runs back up, hooks up with Capital Enforcer. Everyone else is dead. Enforcer basically says to him, I have a theory about why we're here. You know, we're here as like a distraction or a decoy for something. And he gives Adequate his other key for the self-destruct.
He also tells Adequate that he's seen three of the avian alien bird things.
Oh yes, he says he's seen three more out the window. And they were like bobbing around and moving fast and erratically. It sounds like trying to get his attention.
It was a good thing that there was two of them left at the end, not one, because they happened to have the key. They needed two keys. And if there's only one of them left, he wouldn't have been able to do any of this.
Not only was it lucky that there was two of them, that it was the exact right two of them, but the exact right keys.
Yeah, very convenient.
Did everyone else have a key? Did they lose their keys? It's these little convenient things in Halo. Always good. So Adequate takes the two keys. He goes back to the hub. They then basically has like a bit of a conversation with the AI and she's like, no, you've got to destroy shit now. You've got to self-destruct. He's asking questions about the avian creatures in the storm. And then it suddenly clicks on him what has happened. And he starts to talk to the AI about his theory. And she's like, no, you can explain this to me, but really fucking quick because you've got to blow this place up. So he says to her that, hopefully I remember this right. He believes that somehow the librarian figured out that there was actually life in this gas giant. That life needed to be protected for whatever reason. Either they couldn't be taken out of the storm safely, because it's actually quite a violent, vicious place down there, or there was just no more time left with the conservation method and they couldn't be rescued. So they had to devise a way that the flood wouldn't find them. Because flood with the ability to survive in a massive electro storm in a gas giant, potentially being able to re-enter an atmosphere without a ship, fly in space by themselves, they could be an unstoppable infection form. And he talks about how it would basically give the flood the ability to fly to a planet and not sacrifice their ships in order to infect it. They could just like fly low across the orbit dump out these avian infection forms and then leave. So they were too dangerous to be caught by the flood and they needed a defence. So they've basically left the station there and they've been sending crews out to it. That would be the focus of the flood if they ever found the planet. And it wouldn't give them any other reason to look at the planet or suspect that the avian creatures are there. Because like Adequate has only seen glimpses of them for 15 years. And didn't even realise they were there till the very end of the story when they revealed themselves. I'd say that plan worked pretty well.
It's a good plan. Did the job.
And Capital basically figures this out. He doesn't quite have all the pieces, but he's figured out that they are the distraction and they were there as the last resort if the flood should find the station. Adequate turns the key, blacks out, wakes up later in the control hub. He's pinned by a console. He frees himself. His AI comes back to life. He thinks he should be dead. He feels like he's accelerating up the ways. And he starts to piece things back together. The AI helps him to open the safety shutters on the hub. And he realizes he's actually now in the storm. It turns out when they activated the self-destruct, what it actually did was release the 5 spires from the hub. They were all hurled out into the storm and destroyed in the lightning. And then the control hub itself plummeted down into the storm. And then its engines activated as it was falling and brought it to a stop in like a, sounds like the eye of the storm, somewhere down in the middle where the winds are actually quite low. And conveniently enough that the power harvesting hub has tiny little power harvesters on it, so it can now run the engine indefinitely.
That's nice.
Definitely seems intentional. He just was either not made aware or couldn't be bothered to learn that.
That's what I'm thinking too. He was supplied with a lot of food. It was suicide-y, but like if they just stayed in the hub and blew the arms, they all would have been fine.
Yeah, it seems like there may be a slight flaw with the self-destruct thing though, because if the flood had have got to the hub when he destroyed it, it would have plummeted down into the storm and the flood would have been down there with the avians, because these little tiny power collectors were able to provide power so that the hub's engine could then fire and stop it from being destroyed. Like, it really should have just plummeted down and blew up. I think that would have been the safer method. That seems like a minor flaw with this protect the avians from the flood plan. Oh yes, we have this thing, but it actually turns out it has tiny little power supply arms that will supply power to stop it being destroyed. Minor, maybe logical failure there.
The plan works perfectly so long as the flood behave exactly how they do in the book, where they're only in the spires and they aren't in the hub, then it works perfect.
Yeah, so I think I didn't touch on it before, but Adequate suspects, along with the AI, that when the relief ship came and brought the supplies, it brought replacement biomatter for the digesters for the shit that were on the tips of the 5 spears. The AI thinks, oh, there were probably flood spores in those. The spores were then added to the biodigesters. It has then got out, infected one of the crew, and that has started the process of combat forms and infection forms. And it's running on an accelerated process because it had the biomass in the digesters to help it. So it was a recipe for disaster. And then he also realizes that, he may have realized it before or after, I can't remember, that the ship that left with the replacements wasn't heard from either. So chances are it was also infected by the flood. So if he'd have gone out on the relief ship, he would have also ended up dead because the flood would have got him.
Nice.
Yeah, so it worked out. Actually, everything worked out great for Adequate Observer.
The end of the story is just like, we're here, we have infinite fuel, you have enough food to last you a lifetime, and you can just stay here now and live with the aliens and spend your time studying them.
You're going to talk to the jellyfish, space, alien, storm things, and it's going to be a great time. And in a few years, you're going to be wiped out by a Halo event, but don't think about that because you don't know. That's the only thing about this story. These aliens were probably wiped out along with Defender of the Storm. Because that's the other thing, at the very end, the AI is like, oh, you need a new name because you're no longer Adequate Observer, you are Defender of the Storm. And it's like, okay, yeah, cool.
Which is a pretty cool name, to be fair. That's a pretty cool name.
Defender of the Storm is a rather good name. I think that one's up there with like all the great Forerunner names. It's Didact levels of, what is he, Shadow of a Sundered Star or something? Like that's...
Yeah, something mental.
So it's quite good. Thoughts on this story?
I like it. It's pretty good. My big issue is now that I've... This is, what, the third or fourth time I probably listened to it before the book club here. And the more I think about it, the less the whole plan with the station and then the whole falling, none of that makes any sense to me, to be entirely honest. Like, I couldn't figure out why they didn't keep harvesting the material. They could have just kept, harvesting. None of that had any effect on the flood or anything. And then if they didn't want the flood there, the flood only got there because they literally delivered the flood on a ship. So that plan didn't work out so great either.
I wonder if they stopped harvesting the materials. He suspects that the aliens may have been feeding off these materials. And I wonder, did they shut down the harvester? Because once they realized there was life in the storm, they were competing with its food. That's my...
I also thought that too, that potentially what they were doing was harming them. So they stopped harvesting.
They sort of gone, oh shit, there's life here, so we need to shut this down. But we need to keep the station here because we need a distraction if the flood arrive. But yeah, like you said, the flood arrived because they took it. Although I suppose it's a sign that that's how bad things were at the end of the war. Like, they sent a relief ship and accidentally infected the station with it.
Yeah, so I guess, so the plan was then you leave the station there so that when the flood inevitably show up at the planet, you have a station. They only go for the station. They're too stupid to look at the rest of the planet. But if they had gotten there without it, then they would have found the AI. It's good enough.
It's pretty weak. It's an end of the universe type of plan.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
It is kind of a military strategy, though. It's like you do a little bit of like distraction. You go like, oh, look at this thing over here. Like, I know I've read about stuff in World War II where they were like hiding factories. So they would paint like, they would hide the factory to look like farmland and, you know, grass on the roof and banks and all these other things. And then in other parts of the countryside, they would put like a fake factory and then you would bomb the fake factory. So this sounds kind of like that, where it's like, please don't look at the too closely at the giant storm with the aliens in it. Instead, look at this lovely space station in the middle of it.
Tasty space station. Nom, 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 nom.
Yes, full of loads of idiot Forerunners. So I think, like, if it's a weak plan, but it's...
Yeah, well, like you said, it's the end of the world strategy, you know. They don't have much left, so I'll buy that. I can buy that.
We're going to have to chalk this down to... adequate plan.
Nice.
Anything else? All these people are dead. This adequate observer's dead. The flying avian species, they're dead. The Halo killed everyone.
Yeah, I think I liked this story more and when you did before you had told me that it was all just pointless and fruitless and they're all dead now.
Did you like the idea that Defender is still living in the gas giant?
In my brain, he's still there with his alien friends. Now, unless it's some kind of, it's actually out of the way of the ring, but I don't think it is.
No, we are given any indication of that, but I mean, I don't know. I think every once in a while they throw in this X, Y, or Z blocked the Halo effect and suddenly this thing is fine. So who knows? Maybe those particles kept the Halo effect from happening.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's how they get out of it.
The exotic particles combined with the lightning and the storm were able to defend him from it. Yes, that there, I like that.
There you go.
So success, everyone's alive in the storm still. Although it's also sad because adequate observer can't leave the storm because the hub's engines are powerful enough to stop him falling indefinitely, but not strong enough to get him out of the storm.
Come on, man. Over thousands and millions of years, they'll figure something out.
Or the engine breaks down and he falls to his death.
Yeah, man, Forerunner stuff doesn't break. What are you talking about?
Although the avians can get up to the top, so maybe they'll tow him up someday, learn to use them like huskies. Okay, I think we have adequately run through everything of use in this story. Any final thoughts before we go? Anything else?
No, it's pretty good. It's a nice little Forerunner-y story. Nice and quick.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a good... it's a good look at foreigner life outside of the bigwigs, outside of the elite.
Yeah, I think with all Halo stories, it's nice to look at like mundane life more so than all the like on the edge stuff. It's the same when you go to like human stories, hearing about ordinary people on colonies. I think that's one of the things I really like about the Kilo 5 books, is like you're sort of, I know they are big important players, but they're also regular people on a planet, and you learn a bit about them and how life is, so always a good thing. I think that will do us. We have managed to milk half the length of this audiobook into a book club, so that's pretty good going. We will call it nice. Quits there.
There you go.
Guys, thank you for joining us. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find every episode of all of our shows over on the website, evolvedhalo.com. It also features links to our Discord, Facebook group, Patreon page, Xbox Live Club that I can't remember the last time I used it, sorry, and all of our other contact information. Once again, another special shout out to all of our patrons for supporting us and helping make everything we do possible. Head to patreon.com/HaloEvolve to learn more. And finally, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail about this episode or any other episode or your theories on the avians or barely adequate, you can do so by calling us on 205-EVOLVED. That's 205-386-5833. And with that, I've been your host, Aaron. And until next time, Evolved!
Evolved!
Evolved!